This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
And the wheels keep turning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. There's proof this morning that Wall Street can still do business, and that banks are, in fact, willing to lend to somebody. The drug company Pfizer has agreed to buy its rival Wyeth for $68 billion. That's a huge deal. It's about the size of the AT&T Bell South merger 3 years ago. And Pfizer's bid is reportedly being financed by four banks that received bailout money: Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America. What that says, I guess, is that they're willing to lend to strong corporations with high credit ratings. So investment banking isn't completely dead, and neither is venture capital. The Venture Capital Association says venture cap money is down for obvious reasons, but the cash that is flowing isn't headed to drug companies. From our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The winners in the venture capital race right now, everything from solar power to new smart grid energy technology. Pascal Levinson manages a VC firm in San Francisco.
We also remain optimistic that the administration will help catalyze significant advancements in clean tech, and I think that we should all be looking out for more public-private partnerships.
Levinson says right now, VC firms are bolstering their reserves and cutting off companies they don't think will make it to an acquisition or initial public offering.
People are all making tough decisions about, you know, am I going to put a bullet into company X because it's really just not going to get me there.
Venture capitalist Bob Moore says in biotech, there's a healthy shakeout going on.
So if we can spend $1 million or $2 million to find out that a drug or an opportunity is a bad idea, that is considered money well spent.
By the way, clean tech now outpaces biotech investing for the first time ever. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Japan was the only stock market open in Asia today. It fell about 1%. European shares are 1% higher so far. The Dow is at 8,077. It fell 2.5% last week. Netflix announces fourth quarter profits today, and they're expected to beat Wall Street's estimates. Rico Galliano tells us why Netflix is doing so well.
The jargon term for it is trade down. That's when people forego one pricey item for something similar that costs less. And in this economy, many consumers seem to be trading down from a $30 night at the movies to $8.99 a month for Netflix. Jason Avilio is an internet analyst with Kaufman Brothers.
So in an economic environment where people are looking to penny pinch, Netflix's value is a strong one.
But competition looms. This month, Blockbuster announced it'll expand its digital business, eventually streaming movies to computers and other devices just like Netflix. And Avilio says a strong fourth quarter doesn't make Netflix recession-proof, especially since it lowered expectations last quarter.
At the end of the third quarter, they announced they were not going to hit their subscriber growth goals, and now they're beating recently reduced fourth quarter goals.
Netflix won't comment on earnings numbers until after its official announcement tonight, but you can bet struggling media companies will analyze that data to see if the company's success is the kind that can last. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thriven.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Here's a question. Would the government bail out a media company? Just asking, because there are plenty of media companies in trouble. Last week, the New York Times said it was in talks to sell part of its building, and the Times got a $250 million check from Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim. That money won't come cheap, but the Times does have some good tax attorneys.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine has been snooping around the deal, and he says the Times has avoided the Hydo tax rules. All right, Alan, you're going to have to explain that one.
Everybody must know that, Scott. It stands for High Yield Discount Obligation. I mean, don't they teach you that in elementary school?
It sounds like an elementary school game of some sort. Hydo. All right, no, really, what is it?
What it is a high yield, which means junk in English, a high yield security that is issued at a discount from face value. If you have one of these, the Internal Revenue Service puts sharp limits on how much of the interest you're paying you can deduct.
Okay, so how does that benefit the New York Times?
The New York Times is paying something more than 15% a year to the Carlos Slim companies for money. Normally, only about half of that interest would be tax deductible. But because the New York Times has figured out how to get around the Hydo rules, it can deduct all of the interest, and it makes a difference to the Times of something on the order to $6 million or $7 million a year that it keeps rather than sending to the Internal Revenue Service and various state and local things.
And this is what you might call a legal loophole?
Yeah, because the Hydo concept was created to close a loophole. So this is a counter thing. It's like an anti-missile missile.
Oh, really?
They're doing something to make sure that the loophole closer doesn't affect them.
And Lord knows, these days, the New York Times could use whatever help it can get.
Oh, absolutely. And it may be special pleading, given that, you know, I'm a print journalist, but to me, anything that helps keep the New York Times afloat is good. I have no problem with them doing this. I just felt there's a kind of thing people should know, and I just find it enormously interesting because it's an example of how hard it is to really close a loophole when you have competent tax attorneys working for the people looking to use the loophole.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.